One of the statements that I often hear in the circles in which I have to mix is a phrase that goes something along the lines of, I come from a good Catholic family, or she's a good Catholic girl, or my grandparents are good Catholics. So what makes a good Catholic? What makes a good person, for that matter? But as I reflect on these readings, because they're all about judgment, and I question myself, what makes a good priest? I remember one priest saying to me years ago that the headstone read, Father blah blah, a holy priest. And then he turned to me and said, I don't know what they thought holiness was. He was a priest. He may well have been that cranky Irish priest I talked a little bit about last week. So you put that on a headstone, they're a holy person, and it covers up all other sins, if you like. So what makes a person good? What makes a so-called good Catholic? The Church has what we call the five precepts. Some of you will have learnt that in your little green catechism. Some of you will not even know what I'm talking about when I talk about the little green catechism. But others of you will certainly know. But those five precepts of the Church are still in place today. They are the things that make us and identify us as Catholic. They are not the only things, but they are five anchors, if you like, that the Church has had in place to assist people in their journey and struggle to be good. I'll just refresh your memories for those of you who have lost your little green catechisms that cost a shilling or 2 shillings. The first of the precepts was to attend Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation. Tick that box, you're here. The holy days of obligation for bonus points, do you know what they are in Australia? Bonus points, Sam? Christmas Day and the Feast of the Assumption. Okay, for the bonus points. The second precept of the Church is to go to confession at least once a year. The third precept is to go to Holy Communion at least once a year, and particularly in what we call the Paschal time. So Easter right up until Pentecost, in that time, to go to communion at least once. The fourth precept, to keep us on the track to being good Catholics, is to observe the days of fast and abstinence. Sam, abstinence means no meat. She's my victim tonight, bless her. And there are only two of those days, Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. The fifth precept of the Church is to provide for the needs of the Church. In the language of today's first gospel, it would be what they call tithing, giving one-tenth. And I suppose on World Mission Sunday, that is an opportunity for us to consider what we can do to support the mission of the Universal Church. So they're the five precepts that, if you ticked all those boxes, you could probably go home tonight saying, well, I'm a good Catholic. You probably could. But let's dig a little deeper, because that's what that parable is actually about. The Pharisee, you all know what Pharisees are now, they were not getting... they were not friends of Jesus, because they really stood for the hypocrisy in his society, particularly the religious society and culture. So the Pharisee goes in and he stands up right at the front and he says all of these things. And then he finishes off by saying, and I thank the Lord that I'm not like this tax collector. I'm sorry, Margaret, I'm pointing your direction. You deal in real estate. So he finishes with a judgment, does the Pharisee. The tax collector, who is in a sense working for the Roman authorities, taking money from his own people and probably lining his own pocket a little bit as well, he is not even fully in the synagogue, probably for his own safety, because he would not have had many friends there at all. So he stays right at the back and he knows who he is. And he just says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He knows who he is. He deals in the reality of himself in his situation in life. He prays. The Pharisee doesn't pray. The Pharisee is actually talking to himself. There's no prayer in there. And it even says in that line of scripture, and the Pharisee said to himself. So on the outside, the Pharisee appeared to be ticking all of the precept boxes, if you like. He appeared on the outside to be the good Jew. Whereas we know that the good Jew, the judgment comes from what happens on the inside. And that's why in the story, it's a parable, that's why the tax collector is such a strong symbolic figure for us. Not many words are needed, lots of actions are needed to become a good person. And to become a good Catholic, we have, I would say, along with being a good Christian, we have some extra responsibility. We don't belong to a private club. We belong to a church that is where every baptised person is tasked with bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to the whole world, to our neighbourhood, sometimes even deep in our family. Where we will, more often than not, be rejected. We will be misunderstood. We will be laughed at. People just will not understand the reality of who we are and what we need to do in our life in order to express our love of God and to live out, as you hear me bang on so often, live out our love of neighbour. Those five precepts of the church will assist us in that, but they are not everything. There is much more there. And that will depend on what your relationship with God is and how you understand goodness in your life. If being judgmental is part of your life, and it's very hard not to be in such a visual age, it's very hard not to be judgmental. We have a position vacant coming up in our office with our sacramental work, not Melanie, but if somebody came and applied for that job and they had all the piercings through the nose and tattoos all up the side of the neck, and you see these people, in, it might be your kids, your grandkids, you know, they may well be good people, but my visuality immediately judges them and saying, oh, really, do I want someone that's got a ring through their nose at the front office? Really belongs on the circus ground of the Royal Easter Show. It's really hard for me to get beyond that. But this is such a visual age, and people are able in this age to express themselves in many, many creative ways. And some of that may well be tattoos and piercings. And I would have to say to myself, Richard, you just got to get over that and start practice what you're preaching. And you look for the goodness that is in the individual. It's not always reflected on the surface. And I say that to myself before I would say that to anybody else. Dig deeper than what you see. And that's what we get with the tax collector. To the outside world, he's the bad guy. But if we dig deeper, we see that he's actually so close to God. We're told that he's the one that goes home righteous with the Lord, not the man who professes and puts himself and pumps himself up in front of everybody. So firstly, I suppose, I would just be saying, just make sure that if examining what our goodness is and how good we think we are, what is my relationship with God like? Am I a judgmental person? Or can I actually put that aside? And we will have faults and failings as we struggle with that. I know. That's why we have the beautiful healing sacrament of reconciliation. And it can be a real struggle to leave judgment out. But if we replace the judgment with a curiosity even of, what is the goodness of this person? I can't see it at the moment, but what is there? I know it's there because they're made in the image and likeness of God. I know it's there, but I can't see it. So what is blinding me at the moment? And we have to raise ourselves to God, who is all good. But we can't do that because it's not our initiative. The goodness comes from God. And it only happens once we realise that it is through his forgiving love that I can raise my whole life towards him, and that is goodness. I have to accept that it is God's initiative, my desire, but it's God's initiative. It is God who extends forgiving love. One of the other things, the second thing I suppose I'd say there, that traps us in this life when it comes to judgment is because of things that have happened to us in the past. And for some people, awful things have happened to them in the past. And I would just say to you that what happened yesterday ought not be the judge for things that happen today. And equally, I would say, don't let the things that happen today be the judge for things that happened yesterday in the past. Our last day will be the day when we are all judged. That's the only day of judgment. Don't let the past determine and judge your actions today, your behaviour today. Don't let today determine or make you the judge of things that happened in the past. That is the road that is a dead end. There is no forgiveness in that. And we talk about the forgiving love of God that raises us up. The words of the tax collector, be merciful to me, a sinner. So don't let the events of today determine how I'm going to make an assessment or a judgment of the things in the past. Let the last day be the judge. And thirdly, I would just say to you that recognise in your life that we have a dependence on God. I think it was Abraham Lincoln who said something like, without divine assistance, I cannot succeed. Without divine assistance, I cannot succeed. But with it, I cannot fail.